Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here we go with the shortened Tuesday edition of Sports Radio. I'm the big man. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-428-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs are up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there, you know, sometime tomorrow morning, I hope. But you should swing by there anyways to see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like it while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Sports Time Radio. Dan, the man is at
Dan, the man with three E's.
All right, Dan. You've had 23 and a half hours. I still don't have your vote for Cy Young. Garrett Cole or Justin Verlander?
It's going to Garrett Cole.
Oh, okay. It took you that long
and
to figure
Verlander.
It out.
And Verlander.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. So, you mentioned right before we started with, if I watched the Yankees, they did close out their series last night. We have the Astros with the opportunity. Game four tonight there. They're in Tampa. And speaking of Verlander, he is going to get the start on 3 days rest. I heard somewhere that he's never actually made a postseason start on 3 days rest before. I don't think that will be much of an issue for him, but I guess you got to bring these things up. Tampa is going with the opener tonight, Dan. We will see Diego Castillo for an inning or two, and then whatever else they decide to plunk out of their bullpen after that. You like the Astros closing it out tonight, or you think Tampa's got a win in them and going to Game 5?
No, I see Astros closing it out. I mean, 3 days of rest or not, I don't think it's going to be that big of a difference. I do think early on they get a lead. Well, you never know, but I would kind of figure that they would possibly pull Verlander kind of early tonight. I don't think he's going any complete game or anything.
You got to think that's what they're hoping for, right? They get out to a big lead. He's only got to go 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And they can get out of there. So. Here's what we're facing tonight. The Astros are going with York Springer leading off in center, Michael Brantley hitting second and left, Jose Altuve hits third at second, Alex Bregman is the cleanup hitter at third base, Yordan Alvarez hits fifth, he's the DH, Yuri Gurriel is sixth at first base, Carlos Correa hits seventh at short, Josh Reddick hits eighth and right, and then Robinson Chirinos hits ninth and does the catching. For the Rays, they're going with Austin Meadows leading off in the left. Tommy Pham is the DH batting second. G-Man Choi hits third and plays first base. Marcel Garcia, cleanup hitter in right field. Brandon is Lau, right? Yeah, Nate Lowe and Brandon Lau. So it's Brandon Lau hitting fifth at second. Travis Dinal hits sixth. He's catching. Joey Wendell hits seventh. He'll play third. Kevin Kiermaier hits eighth in center field. And Willie Adames is the Rays shortstop, and he will hit ninth for them. So that's what they are facing. So, we mentioned how dominant Verlander was in Game 1. You know, he threw 7 scoreless innings. Castillo actually did throw an inning and 2/3 of shutout baseball against Houston in Game 2. You know, again, I mean, Dan, you know how I am this kind of stuff. You know, I just, you know, what are we getting after it? You know, I mean, who's next? How do they piecemeal it together? Are they getting more than an inning out of him? You know, so that's always my kind of issue there. I don't know about you, but yeah, I would probably be just about as happy if the Astros just close it out and we move on.
Well, you know, if you kind of dive into it a little more, you know, one of the things you and I just brought up is the fact that we assume that given the chance the Astros jump out ahead, you know, let's just say 2 or 3 runs to nothing, it's the bottom of the fourth, you know, we're going into the bottom of the fifth maybe. Maybe you don't bring Verlander back in and you just kind of work from there. But with Castillo, that's his name, right? The Tampa opener?
Yes, Diego Castillo.
So there you go. With him coming in and, you know, having the success that he had the last game, I would think it's the Rays' hope that he shuts them out for 2 innings, thereby possibly, you know, forcing the Astros to keep Verlander in a little bit longer. You know, but like you said, it's not so much the opener, but it's the after effect. You know, how's that going to work?
Yeah, you know, and that's kind of, you know, what I'm wondering here is, you know, what are the Rays going to come up with behind him? You know, like, I don't know who's available. I mean, they have a guy who can give them, you know, multiple innings. I mean, do they have a guy out there who could go 3 innings? I'm not sure if, you know, if they actually do. And, no, that's a tad, you know, a tad frightening there, you know, on what they're going to do. I want to see if I can get the pitching staff. You know, I know you're, you know, I guess they could go to your guy Brandon McKay, who's only pitched 2/3 of an inning in the postseason. So, you know, they could turn there. Oliver Drake pitched a couple of innings yesterday, so I'm guessing he's out. You know, other than that, I mean, I'm not sure, you know, who's rested or who's not. You know, I mean, Blake Snell only went 3 1/3 innings. Are you surprised they didn't come back with him?
A little bit, but is it one of those things where maybe he's the surprise and he comes in and the second inning and goes maybe? Because, I mean, you know, like you said, who's coming in after Castillo is the kind of the biggest question for them. And I would think with the way he's pitched, he's only going 2 innings tops. He's not coming out, and he's not coming in at the top of the third. So who is? And, you know, like you said, with the rest that Blake has and the Astros going with Verlander on 3, it's not maybe so much of a bad idea to bring him in for the 3rd inning and hope that he can make it to the 7th or 8th and somewhat outlast Verlander.
You know, they do have Tyler Glasnow. Yeah, you know, Glasnow only pitched 4 1/3. So you got to think both of those guys are available out of the bullpen if needed by 8. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they try to follow it up or what they try to do. But just looking at the way they use their pitchers, I don't think, you know, I know Oliver Drake went 2 innings yesterday, but Drake and Castillo are the only 2 relievers who have pitched more than 1 inning. You know, and I'm going to guess and say Drake is unavailable after the outing yesterday. You know, that could be a tough bring back. You know, he threw 2 innings that that can be a little hard on a reliever, maybe for a batter, you know, or two he could come in. But, I can't see them getting a ton out of him. Yeah, I just don't know. I think it's an interesting decision, and we'll have to see if, they turn to Snell. It could work out in their favor if Castillo gives them two, say, shutout innings or even gives up one run, and you can get Snell to come in and go six. That may be enough to keep you in the game to where you can turn it over to Pagan and maybe get a win and force a game five.
So,
But
when it comes to tonight with that strategy, do you kind of like what Kevin Cash is doing right there? I mean, obviously it's all a game of chance and, perfectly in a perfect world, it would work out exactly the way you said it. And, we'd be talking about game five tomorrow, but do you like some of the strategy he's going with though? Do you think that gives it a good basis to kind of pull the opener as opposed to just doing it just to do it?
Yeah. Well, looking at their pitching staff, I understand why they're doing it, because they really only have Charlie Morton, Blake Snell, and Tyler Glass now in starting pitchers. There's no fourth guy you can turn to and go, oh yeah, he's the guy, let's give the ball to him. So I understand why they're doing it. This is what they do. I'm not a big fan, but again, this is what they do. We'll see how it works out. I just don't know if I have that much faith in Diego Castillo. Do you?
He looked good the other night.
So, I'm a little surprised. He's done a lot of opening for them, but maybe they know something we don't.
The Rays are obviously, it's kind of one of those, you've got to kind of, you more or less have to go all in, throw all your chips on the table, pull out as many cliches as you want.
Yeah.
So, at the end of the day, though, you still have to think about game five, which, does it go back to Tampa? Yeah, it goes back to Houston. So they'll get tomorrow off, and it should be Thursday. Who's untouchable? Is it Charlie Morton or Yarbrough?
Yeah, I believe Charlie Morton is the only Rays pitcher who is untouchable. I'm sure they wouldn't like to use Snell and Glass now in this game, because whichever one they didn't use would be the game five starter if they got there. I know they cut Morton a little short in his last start. He only went five innings. So you could try to bounce him back, if you needed to, but I don't know how deep into the game he could go. It may be another five-inning outing, and you maybe ask them to hold the bullpen to hold serve again. It's gonna be interesting to see how they strategize this today, and I'm very interested to see who the second guy, after Castillo is. I really want to know if they're going to Snell or they're going to Glass now, or if they really are just going to try to piece this together with reliever to reliever. So, it could make it a long game full of pitching changes. So. So, but we glossed over it a little bit. We only got one sweep in the divisional round, and I guess we shouldn't be surprised, Dan. It was the Yankees, I guess we could say owning the Twins. They had a five, they picked up a 5-1 win last night. And I we talked a little bit about Gleyber Torres. Not only did he homer, but your guy Cameron Maybin homer for the last move. Yeah, I don't know. Do you see this giving the Yankees any advantage that they're going to get a little extra rest, or at this point in time, does it matter?
I don't think it matters a whole lot. I think it is going to help, though, giving them at least an extra day. Because they're going to take out whoever comes to the plate or steps out, whatever. Again, pull out your cliches out. But I would think that they would possibly, statistically, maybe front office-wise, I think they're rooting for the Rays to win, to push that game 5. And I don't think it matters. I don't think they care who they play either way. I think the team will be fresh and ready to go. But, I think it's in their favor all around if the Rays win, just to kind of give them that edge.
Yeah, and then, Severino, they only got 4 innings out of Severino last night, but he did throw 83 pitches. So, they're still a little careful with him. Obviously, the extra rest will help him. The bullpen was very good, obviously, with the exception of Zach Britton. Aroldis Chapman faced, he got all his three out to be a strikeout. So he's definitely, on his game where he needs to be, it appears. So, I think with their pitching staff, oddly as kind of dinged up as the team still is, it's good to get them, even just that extra day is a good deal for them, isn't it?
Yeah, just that one extra day I think is going to just help them out that much, give them that boost. And not only that, I think it takes some pressure off of Chapman, seeing as he went 2 full innings the other night. He closed the game out. Now I know everyone's going to be like, oh, but Dan the Man, you said Joe overused him.
Yeah.
Well, he did. This was the first time all season. This wasn't a regular occurring thing over the last month. So, but, we don't have to dive into that. I don't know. I think they're going to be ready. It's going to be a good series no matter which way you go. I still will be surprised if Tampa wins.
Yeah, and they, the Yankees used it for an inning. So you got to start, we're going to get to that point of starting to question, are we throwing a few too many innings at him again? But, kind of have to follow along with that as we go. So
I think it worked out. Chapman was still looking good. So, but, they did risk it because he did put those 2 guys on base by walking, but then he ended up striking out the side. So, one of the things I wanted to bring up to you, and this is nothing against the Yankees. This is more of a TV media, the way they do things now, and Major League Baseball. But, the locker room celebration. It's the division series, Big Jack.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and just crap on them, but, they did it all for the cameras, and then you could see less than 5 minutes later, it seemed like once all the bottles were emptied, the tarps were taken down, and everyone just kind of was doing what they normally do after a game. Some were hanging around, talking to the cameras. But, I mean, it's the division series.
Yeah. Well.
Call me the old man waving his hand, but I don't know. Anyways, like you said, moving on.
No, I never got it. Anyways, I brought this up, right towards the end of the podcast yesterday, and I wanted, got a little time here to talk about it. I mentioned yesterday that they had pretty much given Mike out the MVP, I think, since about midseason, maybe even before that. I think sometimes after the first month of the year they give it to him. Now, Trout got hurt. He still had really good numbers, but he only put 134 games. He ended up hitting 291 with 45 bombs and 104 RBIs. He had an OPS of 1.083. Now, Dan, did him think those games do enough to make a guy like Alex Bregman a contender, who's got 41 bombs, 112 RBIs, hit .296, and has an OPS of 1.015, and is on a team that is in the playoffs compared to Trout, who, when he recovers, is going to the golf course or to eat Philadelphia Eagle games.
No, I think Bregman should be the deserved recipient of that award. He's definitely proven it.
You know, and I still think the most humorous thing about this all, Dan, is if the Red Sox had contended, we would be fighting over the fact of who deserves the award more, Xander Bogaerts or Rafael Devers, because they both had fantastic years for Boston. And, you know, maybe they'll end up on a ballot towards the end. I think you got to vote for 10 guys. So I won't be surprised if they pick up some votes here and there. But it's just kind of odd how the year played out, because if they had been contenders, literally their names would have been talked about every day as MVPs. But did you ever hear it mentioned?
Sorry, I missed that. I dropped my.
You know,
phone.
And then, you know, I hope the voters are paying enough attention. I know he doesn't deserve to win the award, but again, you've got to pick 10 guys. I hope they're all smart enough to find at least a lower place spot on their ballot for Jorge Soler, who deserves some MVP votes. You know, he ended at 265, led the American League in home runs. And I think he was tied for second in RBIs. Let me double check that. Yeah, he tied for second in RBIs. Believe it or not, Dan, you know, one of his biggest issues with when he was a Cub was he was injury prone. Played in all 162 games this year.
Wow.
I have no idea. So, and you know, again, like I said, I don't think he should win the award, but you can't tell me he's not one of the 10. He wasn't one of the 10 best players in the American League this year. So, you know, I mean, you know, it's like one of those things where, you know, you start to talk about a guy like DJ LeMahieu, who really had a career year, maybe not average wise, because he hit .327. And I know he's won batting titles before, but, you know, he put up 26 bombs with 102 RBIs, again, for a winning team, which I think you've got to take that into a little consideration, don't you, because their games mean a little more down the stretch?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because you knew they were going into the playoffs and were a winning team prior to the season ending. I think that should come into play.
So, yeah, I'm always interested to see how it goes. But, yeah, I'm kind of to the point where I think it's a two-man race. You know, do you give it to Trout since they basically awarded it to him back in April or May? Or did Bregman do enough to catch him? You know, I think kind of an interesting discussion.
Yeah, I think Bregman did enough to catch him.
You know, and I know you could throw Nelson Cruz in there. He had 41 bombs and 108 RBIs with an OPS of 1.021. But you know immediately, Dan, the first thing they're going to say is, well, he's a DH, he doesn't deserve the award. Now, you know, Dan, I need to say this to you. I know you said you were going to lean into Bregman. I think I can change your mind here. If you remember back to when Mickey went out and won a Triple Crown, they still wanted to give Mike Trout the award. Do you remember why they wanted to give Mike Trout the award back then, Dan, when they matched him
up?
Don't
tell me he has more steals than Bregman.
I actually remember. They said Trout was a better base runner. Well, Trout stole 11 bases this year, and Alex Bregman only stole 5.
There you go.
Is that enough for the swing you might talk away?
It should.
11-5. That was still one of the most incredibly stupid arguments I've heard. They mentioned that Trout was a better defender, which obviously they can't use here. We could also bring up the fact that Bregman filled in at shortstop while Carlos Correa was out. So he was actually talented enough to play what would be considered two pretty tough infield positions. And not saying that center field isn't tough to play in the major leagues, but I think it's a little tougher to be a third baseman or a shortstop, don't you?
Oh, yeah. The ball's coming at you a lot faster. And
so,
playing third base as much as Bregman does, given that shortstop role, is kind of a shift, too.
Yeah, and then the other guy I hope they paid attention to, not a guy who should win, but if these voters are paying attention, you realize that Marcus Semien is a legitimate MVP candidate. When you kind of look at it, Matt Chapman only hit .249 this year. He did have the power with the 36 homers. Chris Davis had a down year. Matt Olson had a decent year, a solid year. Semien really carried the team down the stretch. Ended up at .285 with 33 bombs and 92 home runs. I know the OPS is a little down at .892. And again, I'm not saying he should win the award. It's just when you're putting together a list of 10 guys, that's the kind of guy, you've got to look at it. I don't think the A's make the playoffs if Semien doesn't play the way he did. We may have seen Tampa and Cleveland in the wild card game. So we'll have to have to see, but I'm kind of interested to see how that that ends up shaking out. It's always kind of interesting to see how the voters go, but I don't know. Do you think they pushed out enough early in the year to where he's got this locked down? And even though it looks like Bregman, is right there and possibly better, do you think they'll swing the votes that way?
No. I could be wrong, but I still think they're going to try to find every way to get it to Trout.
So, sadly, that's what they, of course, they like to do. Here you go, here's Mike Trout, and we kind of, we kind of give him the award before the season even starts. So, we'll have to see how it goes. But again, it makes it a little interesting to see how things will shake out and what these guys will do. Because honestly, you just never know. Just one of those, one of those fun things to deal with. So, and now are you, I know you, you said you had some plans. You're going to be back in time to catch any of the Astro Rays game, or are you going to be out?
No, we're just going out to dinner. So definitely be back to catch it. Hopefully, I think I don't remember, I haven't been here before, but I think where we're going, they have TVs. So I just got to make sure I'm on the right side, I make sure I'm on the right side of the table.
So your wife will let you sit on the right side of the table. You won't have a problem there,
Yeah. Well, last night she tried blocking me, but I switched when she got up.
But yeah. Speaking of that, Dan and I are going to cut out 30 minutes early here because Dan has plans. So we will be back tomorrow at 5:30 for the normal, the normal shtick. And I'm going to hit the music here so we can go away. I will talk to you tomorrow, Dan.
Talk to you tomorrow.